Well, we all know that home prices are high in Australia, but an international survey has found that Sydney is now the second most expensive city to live in the world. And five Australian cities overall are ranked in the top 29 of the world's most unaffordable. International property analysts say Australian policymakers need to make some serious changes to shift this. No doubt the New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian, who only yesterday listed housing affordability as one of her key priorities, will be listening. Finance reporter David Taylor has more.
Housing affordability in many Australian cities is worsening, but the pace of its decline has surprised even the experts.
Well, it has worsened quite significantly.
Oliver Hartwich is the Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative. He's just released the group's annual survey of housing affordability, comparing hundreds of housing markets right around the world. The survey looks at how much the median household earns in these cities and how much the median house costs.
Specifically for Australian cities, Sydney is now ranked at 12.2. That means the average household in Sydney needs 12 years to pay for the average house price. To give you an idea of how unaffordable that is, the authors of the report think that a median multiple of 3 stands for housing affordability, and everything above 5 is already severely unaffordable. So Sydney is really off the chart.
Oliver Hartwich says at the heart of the housing affordability problem is not so much the supply of housing per se, but the incentive for councils to release land. They have none.
So on the one hand, we are asking councils to pay for the infrastructure and make development happen. On the other hand, when it happens, all the upsides, the tax revenue generated out of development, typically flow to state and to federal governments. And that is why we are seeing a problem in the developed world of releasing land for development. And this is, I think, behind the ridiculous increases in housing unaffordability.
Housing finance is another key issue. Dr. Peter Williams is a UK housing expert and a departmental fellow at the Cambridge Centre for Housing and Planning Research. He spoke to RN Breakfast about a number of policies Britain's using to maximise housing affordability, including attempts to reduce tax incentives for the rich.
Landlords in the UK are now facing declining tax incentives. That has had some impact. Attitudes and appetite to buy more property to let out has gone down. There's certainly less borrowing around the mortgage market as a consequence of that. So these changes in tax treatment do have an effect. I don't think it can be seen as something you can do. But equally, negative gearing in Australia is very expensive. And certainly there are very strong arguments to say it should be adjusted.
He also claims Britain's equity loan scheme has helped Britons to buy their very first home.
Whereby the government loans 20% of the purchase price of a property, and now the government is bringing in a starter home scheme where they discount the price of a new home by 20%, and the builder tries to reduce the cost of the development by buying the land more cheaply. There are endless solutions to these problems.
This is pretty expensive, I imagine, on the public purse, though, just briefly.
It's expensive, but so too is the cost of a dysfunctional housing market.
And that's also a point Dr. Hartwich wanted to make.
We are talking a lot of these days about the rise of inequality, for example, and there's much more concern about inequality and poverty in our societies. Well, actually, if you break down the figures, what you typically find is that without housing, affordability decreases, we would be in the same position that we were 20 or 30 years ago. All the talk about inequality in our society is typically linked to housing affordability. So I think if you really fix the housing market, you fix a lot of other social problems that we find in our society.
That's Oliver Hartwich, the Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative, ending David Taylor's report.